Thank you very much, Peter, for joining me today on the Leadership Convo. I think it's been a while we did this, but I'm so excited that we are back having more topics to talk about on leadership and trying to inspire the next generation of leaders. I think this is so important and this is so crucial. And I'm really glad that we get to use our podcast to do that. Today, we're going to talk about building a better leadership culture in Africa. I think this is one of the things that people barely talk about, because when we think of leadership, we think about just the leaders and we don't think about the culture that actually produces those leaders. So today I want us to have a conversation on this, how we can really build a better leadership culture in Africa. I want to find out from you what the current leadership culture in Africa is like. And, you know, I know that you have a lot of projects in the rural communities with Across Impunto, which basically means rural development. And then you also living in Kumasi and, you know, schooling in Kumasi and living in Accra. You are also very much aware of the urban life in Ghana. And not only in Ghana, across Africa, we kind of see, you know, quite similar things happening. So I want to know from you what really you think the current leadership culture in Africa is like, and what are the key factors that you think that are shaping this kind of culture that we have?
All right. So in Africa, in Ghana, so I've had opportunity to be part to travel to some African countries like Togo, Cote d'Ivoire, and I've been able to see their cultures, which are not much different from that of Ghana and that of the ones that we have in rural areas. So the cultures or the beliefs that are similar across the places that I've been to, one, we have respect for elders and authority. And with this, we respect people in authority, we respect elders. And this shapes our leadership in Africa such that when somebody is occupying position, that person should be respected simply because that person is a leader. That person should not be criticized. That person is ahead of you. So that person should be respected. And this shapes the leadership culture that we have in Africa. The other thing is community. In Africa, we have this spirit of community. That's a Ubuntu thing where we believe that when we are together, we have to accept ourselves and we have to do things together. So you find that some positions are given to people who are, in quotes, part of some people. For instance, it could be because of their tribe, because they attended the same senior high school, because they are in the same political party. So this culture of community, of Ubuntu, also shapes leadership in Africa. And we have the kind of leadership that emerges through your bloodline or your family line, either you are your patrilineal side or your matrilineal side, where because you are from your mother's side, you are a royal. So you can be appointed as a leader simply because you are coming from that bloodline, simply because you are coming from that side of the family. So you could be appointed to become a leader, not necessarily because you qualify to be that leader, but because you are part of a certain bloodline. And this also shapes the leadership that we have in Africa. We get to have people in certain positions simply because you're part of a particular tribe, you're part of a particular community, you're part of a particular family, you're part of a particular political party. And then we get to respect people in authority simply because they are older than us, they are occupying certain positions. So they become untouchable. You dare not speak against them. And these are all shaping the type of leadership that we have in Africa.
I think you make very good points there. And sometimes I find it a bit worrying that our culture or traditional culture in general is not moving us towards meaningful leadership. Because if you think of countries like Japan has this strong emphasis on honor, respect, and loyalty. And you can see that that is deeply ingrained in the traditional culture that they have. Okay. And because of that, it translates into the leadership generally, the political leadership they have, and almost every leadership, because if the people have a strong emphasis on honor, respect, and loyalty, then they want to see that. So you see them collaborating better, building consensus, and leading their nation better. But then you come to Africa and you don't get to see those things. You get to see a very different system when it comes to how we lead in terms of our political institutions, our academic institutions, religious institutions, our families, our people in other countries are able to bring out good leadership from their traditional leadership culture, right? So they're able to build a good leadership culture from their traditional leadership culture. And Africa seems to have a very strong traditional culture, but we've not been able to translate that into effective leadership. Rather, we've gone to the very extreme of them. For instance, you just talked about the fact that people, we respect each other. So because we respect each other, one will think that if you have respect for each other, then you should lead them properly and you should be accountable to them and you should respect their, you know, their vote. But that is not what we see. We see people trying to steal elections and trying to do all kinds of things. And then the other extreme side of it is we are not able to speak against leadership or speak against those in power because we respect them. And if you speak against them, it's going to seem like you do not respect your elders. And then you talked about community. You see people, instead of emphasizing on meritocracy, we are rather emphasizing on, well, you've been there for long, you are the elders, you have served for long, even in political parties, it's your turn, you are the next in line, so you are supposed to, you are the one to lead. And we continue to do that, even though we could really put emphasis on merit. And we don't see that. So how can we, with our beliefs and our values, how can we translate that into effective leadership culture? How can we change the traditional cultural values that we have into effective leadership culture, just as we see in places like Japan?
All right. So for the cultures in Africa, and those of other continents, we have some differences. So in Africa, like I said initially, we emphasize on community, that we are together as one people. But you find in other continents that they emphasize on individuals and not just community. So you find that becoming a leader will depend on your individual achievement and qualities and then on merits, and not necessarily because you are part of a certain political party or because you are part of a certain family. So moving on, we in Africa should be able to translate our cultures into good leadership styles for our development. And we can do this through education and training. We need to know that if the cultures that we are having are not helping us to develop, it is time that we have to use education and training to be able to develop ourselves well, develop young people well, to use the same culture that we have to develop the continent. For instance, the culture of a community is important, that it will help us be able to work well in teams. So this should be used through education and training, that the young people should use that community belief or value to be able to work together as a team to develop the continent, and not necessarily use that community belief or value to appoint people into positions where they do not qualify to be in that positions. So that is one area that I'll touch on. The other thing that I'll touch on is using role models, mentorship, and guidance. There are people who are doing well in the positions that they qualify. There are people who are doing well even outside Africa. We need to get these people to be good role models for our young people so that they'll be able to train them, help them to get the good leadership styles that will be able to engineer the development that we so much desire. Because at the end of the day, we allow the young people to grow up with the same culture. They will replace the leaders who are not performing, who, as a result of the culture that we have, who are not performing. So we need the good ones among us. Of course, we have some chiefs, we have some kings, we have some leaders who are doing extremely well in their communities. There is one community in Ghana where the chief has ensured that no resident in that community put the rubbish on a compound. So according to this team, our ancestors believed that the environment should be clean, the environment should not be defiled. So he's continuing this belief, this culture by the ancestors, by ensuring that no member in that community will litter around. If you do so, you'll be banished from that community. So these are some of the people that we need to be mentors, to be role models to our young people, so that we learn from them to be able to become good leaders ourselves and lead well when we get the opportunity to do so. And then we should have that networking and collaboration among organizations and persons. It's obvious that we cannot do it alone in Africa. If you are consistently doing the wrong thing, there is no way that you can do the right thing if you don't see the light, if you don't see how people are leading very well in other countries and how people are training other young people very well in other countries. And the thing is, the countries who are doing well, it's not that their young people are born with the talent of leadership. They also go to training. They also go to mentorship. So as organizations that are training young people to become ethical leaders, it is important that we collaborate, we network with organizations and persons who are doing well, even outside Africa, so that there will be knowledge sharing. You're able to transfer knowledge, you're able to learn best practices and train young people very well in Africa. And the last point that I'll touch on is technology. We've come away far on with advanced technology. Now you can sit at a corner in Africa and virtually see how things are going on in other countries. So it is important that young people leverage on technology to be able to learn best practices, to be able to see how we can use the culture that we have to be able to develop our continent. So you see that in other countries, when they are arguing based on ideas, and they respect the ideas and the points of other people, and not necessarily respecting other people. But if you are making the right point, you argue with other people, and then you make your point succinctly. So the fact that we respect leaders here shouldn't limit us from sharing our ideas, from letting people in positions know that, though I respect you, but when you are doing it this way, this thing that you are doing will not help us. So we should leverage on technology to be able to take advantage of our culture to build the right leadership styles for young people in Africa.
These are very good points, Peter. These are so good. To think about the respect we have for, let's say, traditional leaders, the respect that we have for, let's say, religious leaders. I mean, you can see how much respect is ingrained in our culture, like the way we, even the respect we have for fathers. And sometimes I get worried why we're not able to use those institutions or tools to be able to build a good country. Why we are not able to use families as a powerful tool. Because if I'm growing up in a family and there's in Africa, you just cannot speak against your father and your mother. Of course, people do that, but that's not something that is common. Generally, there is a respect. There is respect for fathers and for mothers. And generally, we have respect for each other. We have respect for kings. But yet, we are not able to translate that. So I love the fact that you talked about collaboration. I love the fact that you talked about role models. Because when we lack role models at home, when we lack role models in communities and institutions and society, there's no way people are going to know how to really lead well. You know, so I really love these points that you make. But then let's look at the media, for instance, and let's look at young people. You talked about technology. We have social media. What role can we play in using these tools and even with the media in promoting or telling the story of people that have achieved, you know, or achieving things or doing something right in society? Because sometimes I listen to the news and the media, and every morning we are criticizing and we are saying this and we are talking. Institutions like academic institutions are also doing the same thing, teaching and saying this. Religious institutions every Sunday talking and talking. But basically, we are not able to see a change in society. How can the young people of today use content creation, storytelling, use the media to be able to promote and inspire a good leadership culture in Africa?
Great. The media is very important in building the right leadership culture in Africa. you would agree with me that the media sets the agenda. Whatever that will be discussed in the country, the agenda will be set by the media. So in Ghana, for instance, each week a new topic is discussed. This week, people are discussing an old man who has married a young lady, and that is what people are discussing. In previous weeks, people were discussing galamsey and other things. And then in a week that is coming, the new Democratic, the National Democratic Congress is having their primaries over the weekend. So the next week, that is what people will be discussing. So you see that the media sets the agenda for what people should be talking about in the country. So it is very, very critical to the development of the right leadership styles in Ghana. We have to use the media to set the agenda, to get people to be talking about the right leadership styles, to be talking about ethical leadership, to be talking about social impact, to be talking about innovation, and not just be talking about people and things that are not relevant to our growth and development. So young people should really take advantage of social media platforms, content creation, and then radio and TV stations to set the agenda. And this agenda will determine what people will be discussing in the country. So you see that elsewhere, that it's a national policy to even help the film industry to determine the type of movies that are produced, to get people to be talking about certain topics. So this is what we should be interested in. What are the things that we want young people to be talking about in the country? So while the young people have a role to play in setting the agenda, we need people in authorities already, particularly political parties and president and ministers, to be interested in this, to upset the right agenda for the right topics to be discussed. Using movies, using radio programs, using TV programs, using books, using all other social media platforms to set the agenda, to get people to be talking about leadership and the right leadership styles, so that when we get to hear about it more, when we get to listen to it more, it will help us to be able to unlearn and relearn the best leadership styles, to be able to get the best people to be in positions to drive the transformation that we so much desire. So the media is so much critical in our development. I, in particular, think that we, as a country, is not development, partly because of the media, because we've allowed the media to set the wrong agenda each week. We discuss one thing this week, and the next week we are discussing another thing. We are not setting the right agenda for people to discuss the right thing. So at the end of the day, we follow the wrong content. We are not learning. We are just having fun. We are just talking, and then we are not developing. We need to get to the point where we are setting the right agenda with content, with the things that we produce on social media, to get people to be talking about the right things, to ensure that we are getting people to learn the right leadership styles, to engineer the development we so much deserve.
I think that transparency and accountability and promoting ethical leadership is so crucial to building good leadership culture. And I'm so glad that you mentioned all these things, because when we have a poor media and we have civil societies playing a poor role in making sure that there is accountability, there is no proper leadership culture. Because when we get to see the people that were jailed, we get to see the people that were shamed, the people that were named, when we get to see them, young people will shun away from those things. But when we don't get to see those things, then people think that they can get away with things, and they wouldn't even know that is a problem. So I love the fact that you were talking about the media and the role of, say, civil societies. And I thank God that, like you mentioned, with technology, now we don't need to look at traditional media, because most traditional media today is just becoming about the money, and it's about the people that fund them, right? So we have social media. We have YouTube, we have TikTok, we have Instagram, and we have Netflix, where we can have our movies and other places to, you know, to show them. And I think we have to see young people tell the story better. We have to see young people become their own journalists, you know, they have to tell their story. They have to write about their story. They have to write about the things that are going on in society. They have to, you know, push for accountability. They have to push for transparency. I think this change, I remember about years ago when we people started the Me Too movement, and it kind of sparked up this whole conversation on sexual harassment and abuse and all that. That was something that was good, because you have young people talking about stuff, and not only young people, old people also getting interested through the power of social media. So I think sometimes I get worried when we begin to just blame politicians and blame other people and not realizing the tools that are that we have to be able to make the change. Let me ask you about innovation and entrepreneurship, because I think that when I hear people say that Africa has such a rich leadership culture, I think what we are trying to talk about is how our culture promotes the food and the clothing and the dancing. And we don't think of our culture promoting good values, you know, and our culture promoting ethical lifestyle. We don't think about that. And I think I have seen elsewhere where young people are taught very early. It's like in their culture, they are taught about service, you know, the need for you to serve, the need for you to exchange value, which really help in building the kind of entrepreneurship that they have in those countries and help in building innovation, because they are always thinking of serving, always thinking of solution, always thinking of how to help other people. How can we also in Africa learn from these cultural practices elsewhere and imbibe in our culture, our leadership culture, innovation and entrepreneurship? How can young people generally grow up, you know, becoming more entrepreneurial and more innovative?
Great. Young people should be taught how to use the right culture to build their businesses, to build the organizations and lead well. That is the way we can go about it. Because I, for once, believe that we are not able to build sustainable businesses that transcend generations because of our culture. The culture that you have to employ people who are closer to you, who are around you. So at the end of the day, you get people to be part of your organization. They are not performing, but you're not able to sack them. You end up having the wrong people in your team and it collapses the organization. And so this is not helping African businesses to live longer and even transcend generations. Most times, an African business die with a founder. Organizations in Africa mostly die with a founder because the right culture is not being used in the organization. And culture in organization is very important. So in order to be entrepreneur and innovative, we have to learn the culture of meritocracy, learn the culture of appointing the right people to lead certain positions, because you'll have an organization and then a family member will come that my son has completed university and he's not working, so could you kindly employ this person for me? Or you'll be occupying a certain political position, and then you have people from the constituency coming that they are done with school, their children are done with school, they need employment, and then you have to find places for them. They occupy these positions and they are not able to perform. And they are not sacked too. At the end of the day, they collapse organizations and they collapse businesses. So it is important that even though the culture of community and then getting people who are closer to you to be part of your team may be important, because most times you are able to work with people who are, you know, very well in your team. But we have to know that that culture of just getting the people that you know to be part of your team is not helping us to build sustainable businesses. So it is time that we teach African young people to leverage technology, training, and some of the things that we are doing at the Grace Life Leadership Center, helping young people to know that if you want to build a sustainable business, you need to get the right persons to be part of your team. And not necessarily because you completed school with them, not necessarily because they are part of your family, not necessarily because you are part of a certain group or they are part of your political party. And this will ensure that we build sustainable businesses that will transcend generations and live for longer periods of time.
This is incredible. Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you so much for these are great, great thoughts on building leadership culture. And I do appreciate your time here. Unfortunately, we don't have more time to continue our discussion. But I think what is key in that which we've talked about today is the need for a good leadership culture at home, in the institutions that we build in, academic institutions, political institutions, religious institutions. We need a good leadership culture, and we are only going to have that by building translating the traditional cultural values that we have, you know, into real leadership actions, real things, and promoting that and telling the story about people that are doing the right things and celebrating those things. So when you look at young people today, I think it's easy for us to blame people, and it's easy for us to say whatever we want to say. But we also do understand the challenge with people just changing and people just throwing away that which they are used to. And I remember having a conversation with you and you mentioning the need for us to unlearn and relearn. And I think that was so important for us to be able to say, well, this is what we have been taught and this is what we have learned, but this is not how it's supposed to be. It is okay for you to speak up, and that is not disrespectful. You know, it's okay for you to challenge the things that people are doing that is not helpful to society, and that is not disrespectful. And it's okay for you to demand transparency and accountability, and that is not disrespectful. And it's okay for you to reject somebody who is part of, you know, where you come from. And that does not mean that you don't love community, you know, or you are not. You don't celebrate your own. Like you hear people say, promote your own, right? It doesn't mean that you don't promote your own. Like you mentioned that sometimes you just have to go for people who can do the job and not people that you know. And I think that it was golden. That was golden. So thank you so much, Peter, for being here. And for those of you who have been listening to this conversation, I hope this has really blessed you. But leadership culture is important to the development of any country. It's more important because the culture is what will bring better leaders across all sectors. Just pushing for one leader is not enough. We need to focus on the leadership culture that we have. And for us to do that, we have to pay attention to our traditional cultural values and for us to see how we can translate that into real action that promotes result or that gets result and that promotes the society that we are trying to build. Thank you so much, Peter, and thank you all for listening. This is the Leadership Convo. We're definitely going to be back with more on leadership. If you've not subscribed, this will be a good time for you to subscribe. Thank you, and do have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.